Well, here we are. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. Year 13, we started our life on the Naramata Bench. In a barn on the Naramata Bench. Here's the show for this week. Do enjoy it. Enjoy the sun. Enjoy your time away from the grind. We hope this helps. Mike Rafton, a winemaker who showed up on Vancouver Island, grows in Saanich, lives in Victoria. First time I tasted his wines, I thought, there's somebody who knows what they're doing. Very impressed. And he's only going to get better and better and better. So we talk, and I do this because I think you should know about him. Mike Rafton, Rafton Cellars, R-A-T-H-J-E-N. Jim Cuddy comes back. He has a wine out there called Cuddy by Taws. Taws is one of the best wineries, and for a couple of years was the best winery in Canada. Jim Cuddy and Colin Cripps from Blue Rodeo and the Jim Cuddy Band talked about creating a wine, and they did. A red, a white bubble, no rosé, and we're going to talk about that. I'm a rosé fan. I love rosé. Jim Cuddy doesn't. Joining Jim Cuddy is Paul Pender, the winemaker who actually made the dang wine. And then the last segment is about the best small winery in Canada as voted by Wine Alive. Chris Tolley, the co-partner and the winemaker at Moon Cursor in Osoyoos. Charge your glasses. Here we go. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch, who are now officially open. They offer two new releases from Crown and Thieves, The Winemaker's Wench, which is a crisp, aromatic summer slugger, and also an unfiltered rosé titled Pinky Blinder. You can find these wines and the stunning new Black Swift Vineyards at Black Swift, 2345 Boucherie Road, Kelowna, and hatchwines.com. I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio, right here. Year 13, 14, perhaps, started life on the Naramata Bench. We're going to head for Saanich. Well, actually, Mike, you could be in Victoria for all that matter. But no, you said you were on the crush pad, right?
I am, out in Saanich.
Mike Rafton, and the winery, strangely enough, is called Rafton Vineyards. There's a couple of things I'm going to remind you of from a previous conversation that you and I had in a very crowded room. I asked you about your name on the label. You said, yeah, it's okay. I like that. It's kind of cool. How about the responsibility that goes with it? And you said, ask me in a couple of years. That was March of 2018. We're now just over 2 years. How about that responsibility that you're carrying?
Feeling a little heavier all the time, I'd say. But partly due to the fact that people keep offering me more and more vineyards here in the peninsula. Yeah. But, you know, I think it's like any business too. As we grow, there's more employees and I'm having to learn the human resources part of all this. And it's other people's lives, you know, when you get to the point where people are working for you full time.
Yeah.
And they're maybe having their first child or something and you're their employer and they call you boss and...
Oh, man.
It's kind of a strange thing.
Oh, man.
After, you know, 20-odd years of being an employee, to be on the other side of that, it's definitely a responsibility.
But
then here we are in this pandemic as well, and people losing jobs left, right, and center. Trying to stick up for my people through all this, right? Yeah.
But it does imply that there's been growth, Mike.
Yes. Maybe not in bottles of wine, but definitely in response by the wine drinker. We've had a really great run over the last couple of years. Had an amazing couple of years for getting into some great restaurants and building up that side of the business. Really, really great response from restaurants. I'm quite happy with some of the chefs and people I've been able to work with. As far as like Tofino, we're up in Pluvio and then in Victoria.
Nice.
A lot of great spots here out Wild Mountain and Souk and then over Vancouver. Got into some nice rooms over there, including Shambar and Kisatanto. And yeah, it's been really fun. And it's just a confirmation of what we're doing over here on the island in the vineyards and then obviously the wine that comes from it.
Okay. A couple of things. When I last talked to you in 2018, you were making 700 cases. Where are you now in production?
I'd say a high point so far since then has been 1,200.
Okay.
Last year was a difficult year farming. Everybody on the island was down about 30%. So in a year when I was shooting for 1,500 cases, we shrunk to just below 1,000 again. So that was frustrating for sure. Anything from just poor flowering to, in one case, a black bear. So we've got one vineyard that, yeah, the farmer really is wrestling with this bear every year, taking our Gamay. So that was unfortunate.
I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. Mike Rothgen, and the winery, strangely enough, it's called Rothgen Cellars. I remember you telling me that, and one of the things that really caught my ear was that you felt a responsibility to restore farmland that came under your care. There's nothing better. There's no better feeling in the world to see a piece of land that's been abused or forgotten, and to bring it back.
Yeah, there's a long history of farming here on the South Island, and I think on the peninsula in particular, land prices were getting quite expensive, so it was becoming less and less viable to do farming in the classic sense. So several of our vineyards are in those kind of situations where land had gone fallow, and or was just unused or abused in some cases. So that's continues to be what we're doing, and like I was saying, we're getting more and more of these vineyards being offered to us. And the vineyards themselves may not have been neglected, but one big thing that we're doing is converting a lot of our vineyards over to organic and sustainable methods, in particular because they're other people's properties. So
Sure.
that's probably the best way that I can leave those vineyards in better shape than when they're given to me
And
is to convert to that kind of farming.
when we talked last, you were talking about you had five inherited wineries, well, farms with vineyards. And where are you now in that inheritance?
We're up to six, and then there's two more just in the last couple of weeks that were floated under my nose. And there's been several that I've turned away that just weren't the right fit for varieties or maybe a bit too far away from the home vineyard. We've had two other orchards. So we planted an orchard for a friend on fallow farmland again. So this would be for cider production. And another orchard came online last year as well. So diversifying a little bit in the product line that's in the
Yes,
future too.
I noticed that you have a creme de cassis and a bumbleberry cider, and you're making a vermouth.
Yeah. So that's been another thing too, is to be able to partner with some of the other craft producers on the island. So we do a vermouth project with Ampersand up in the Cowichan. So they've got that beautiful gin that they make. And a lot of people were requesting that they make a vermouth, but the technicalities that we have here in BC, vermouth needs to be made under a winery license. So they sought me out for that and for access to for grapes. So I provide the base wine for them, and then they've developed the recipe with the botanicals. And it's a category of vermouth with the whole boom of craft cocktails. A lot of people looking for a local version of that. So now we've got a beautiful dry vermouth, and we're working on a sweet vermouth this summer with them.
How's your mixology?
Theirs is a lot better than mine, but I'm learning.
Okay. He is Mike Rafton, Rafton Cellars in Saanich, formerly of Mike and Mike. Mike Norislo and himself are quite a pair, and it's still a friendly competition between the vineyards. I'm just looking at the lists of wines that you make and the ones that I've tasted. Right at the very top is the Pinot Noir 2017. Any 2017 left?
Oh yeah, we're about halfway through.
Okay.
We released that in December. Yeah, we're about halfway through that. Things obviously slowed down in the last couple of months, so we're still sitting pretty good with stock levels on that one.
Were you sending out shipments?
Yeah, for sure. We definitely overnight got our online store up and running, and it went like gangbusters for especially through April and May. It was pretty fun to be able to get wine out to the people that way. And just dropping off packages at Canada Post, and I was doing a free delivery around town. And still,
Nice.
that's still live until we get the tasting room open in July.
Way to go.
Opening the doors again.
Here's what I love about you. You're a dry farmer. I love dry farming. I encourage it and I support it. Your Pinot Noir is a blend of four Dijon clones, dry farmed at Saison Vineyards. Very, wow, there's a gold mine right there. A wonderful piece of land in the Cowichan Valley. What clones are in there?
That is 115-667-777 and 828. And as far as I know, Frederick's the only one with the 828 on the island so far. Very little in BC overall. And it's a beautiful clone, so I think it adds a really beautiful depth
Do you,
to our Pinot Noir every year.
and Mike, do you make them separately and then blend?
We do, yeah. And
Okay.
it's I've got a little bit of an experiment going. I've made Pinot Noir for Frederick's Vineyard 5 years in a row. And every year I ferment each clone separately in its own barrel and age it out for a year in its own barrel. And before I put the final blend together, I bottle a half a case of each clone. And I'm 4 years deep into the experiment, so that's
That's
16 different wines that I've got bottled.
beautiful.
So four vintages times four clones, and I
Okay.
want to do a little bit of a tasting event with that one day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perhaps when you open the restaurant, this is Tasting Room Radio. Mike Rothchin and the winery, strangely enough, it's called Rothchin Cellars. The Pinot Gris, also dry farmed, also at Saison. It's a beautiful Pinot Gris. I mean,
Ah, thank you.
everybody makes a Pinot Gris. And in many cases, you can tell the ones that were just made to pay the bills. You put some love and craft in this.
Yeah, it's our top white, and Frederick's growing beautiful fruit every year. It's like Christmas when I get the Pinot Gris on the crush pad, and I crack the lid open. It's just gorgeous. So beautiful, clean fruit. Even though we're out here in the wet coast, it's not that really that wet out here. But what I'm doing with my Gris, for one, we just get that beautiful, beautiful acidity that holds it all together. And I think when Pinot Gris gets overripe, that's when it kind of gets boring and more like apricot jam and sort of those more cloying flavors, whereas we get this beautiful crisp acidity. And then I'm also toning that down with fermenting it in neutral oak. And it gets to, I keep it in that barrel for almost 10 months
Okay.
on the fermentation lees, and it just builds out some beautiful length and texture, and it softens that acidity too. So it all comes together, and it makes, yeah, more of a neutral style.
It's
But
the texture that I love. I love the mouthfeel on it. By the way, I just want to say to the audience, we don't waste your time here having guests who don't make great wines. You have a lot of choices out there. You want to find Rathjen, Rathjen, Rathjen Cellars. And if your store doesn't have it, insist that they get it. Simple as that. Okay. The rosé brings something to mind, Mike, and that is also dry farmed, also Saison, in the Cahuacha Valley. And what I liked about it was there Gamay in there?
not this year.
Oh, okay.
So that, you remember that bear I was talking about?
Yeah. Okay.
So
No,
we've
the
made
bear took
for,
the Gamay. Oh my God.
they did. And that's made up at least 50% of our rosé every year, and we're getting quite a little following for it, and I didn't get any Gamay last year, so it ended up being a much smaller batch. That was part of our decrease in production last year, but
Okay.
now it ended up being 100% Saison Pinot Noir, which is a lovely, lovely source for fruit to make a rosé out of. So I'm not complaining. I would have loved to have three times as much of it,
Yep. I know
but it's now.
I know that you went looking for more Gamay or wanted to plant some or just get some more Gamay going on Vancouver Island. How's that going?
Good. I've found two other sources planted. One's right down here in Saanich, and that was one of the vineyards I was saying could be coming online soon for us. A fairly young vineyard. And that's just right on the highway between the ferry and downtown. If you look to the left, there's Mitchell's farm. It's a beautiful open farmland. There's a neat ridge along there, and that's where that one Gamay source is. And then there's another couple up in the couch, and that's actually renovating a 20-year-old vineyard, and there's a few acres of Gamay there. So me and everybody else are all scrambling to get our hands on that fruit when it comes online. But it was a multi-year project to bring that vineyard back.
I think BC, it's a, I think BC should become a home for Gamay. That's just me. How about Vancouver Island and the Gulf Islands? You think it's a good spot?
Oh, it's gorgeous. Yeah, and it ripens in a very similar trajectory to Pinot Noir and Pinot Gris, so no problems there.
Okay.
It crops really well. It seems to be a bit more of a steady cropper. The Pinots can be pretty finicky with flowering, so our yields can fluctuate a lot, whereas Gamay seem to be a bit more solid. So that's always nice for the bank account if you're getting more grapes every year from the same amount of space.
I had a feeling that this would take just a little more than one segment of this show because he's Mike Rathjen and he knows what he's doing on Vancouver Island. He has made a name for himself, but anybody who comes anywhere near his wines knows that he's doing something very special. We'll be back with part two. We'll talk about the Bunker White and Bunker Reds right after this. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch, who are now officially open. They offer two new releases from Crown and Thieves, The Winemaker's Wench, which is a crisp, aromatic summer slugger, and also an unfiltered rosé titled Pinky Blinder. You can find these wines and the stunning new Black Swift Vineyards at Black Swift, 2345 Boucherie Road, Kelowna, and hatchwines.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by our friends at Road 13 on the Golden Mile. Road 13 has designed a new menu for seated wine tastings and vineyard experiences that make it easy to dig right in. Make your reservation and make a date with Road 13. And remember, every Tuesday is Dog Day at Road 13 from 11 to 4. Gourmet hot dogs paired with award-winning wines. Wines like their sparkling Chenin Blanc from the Home Block Vineyard, the oldest Chenin Blanc vines in North America. Made in the traditional method, this wine is truly a labor of love. You can find them at road13vineyards.com. I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. Mike Rothgen and the winery, strangely enough, it's called Rothgen Cellars. Before I run out of time here, let's quickly tell them, Mike, about Wine Bunker Red and Wine Bunker White. So what's the blend in Wine Bunker Red?
It is 3/4 Gamay, yep. And from the Deal Vineyard in the Couchin Valley. And the rest is really nice ripe Marisol Foch from down here in Saanich, which I find really fills out the body of the Gamay and gives it some kind of deeper blueberry notes and some nice full mouthfeel. And a little bit of an experimental hybrid called La Belle, which is very little of it on the island. Just fruity, bright. And that's the idea with the Bunker series, is that it's not going to have like big heavy tannins or heavy oak flavors. It's going to be lighter, brighter, very versatile with food. The Gamay gives it a little bit of a spice note.
Okay. Wine Bunker White 2018. Now, I love the fact that it's inspired by Alsace. You would expect a Schoenberger or a Pinot Gris or an Auxerrois to be in there. Would they ever know about Ortega in Alsace?
They may have, because it did originate in a German breeding program.
Okay.
Kind of in the 60s or 70s. And it came out in the wave with Schoenberger and Sigariba and Madeleine Angevin, all of those. So they're an early ripening Germanic. Not sure if Alsace has played around with it at all. Ortega's really gotten a following here on Vancouver Island in particular, and a little bit in England, actually.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So the Wine Bunker White, is it 20? How does it pair out?
Food wise?
Well, no, I was thinking more like what's carrying it? Is it the Pinot Gris? Is it the Schoenberger?
Well, our new release that we've just put out now is actually 75% Ortega.
Okay.
And 25% Pinot Gris. So it was the 17 that had a little bit of Schoenberger and Auxerrois in there. And I've been actually releasing the Auxerrois on its own as a flagship white.
I saw that. I was in Cascadia, and there was your bottle.
Yeah, and that's a really neat wine. It's from almost a 30-year-old vineyard here in Saanich, and I've actually been pulling that fruit to the side and releasing it on its own. And I give it the same treatment as the Pinot Gris with the neutral oak and then the longer aging in the cellar. So now I've simplified the blend a bit with the Bunker White. And to me, 2/3 Ortega, 3/4 Ortega with some Pinot Gris in there, just to hold it all together. It's got that acid backbone, the Pinot Gris, and just gives it, it kind of gives it the structure, the frame for all the beautiful aromatics and the floral peachy notes of Ortega if the 100% Ortega is in the 100% Sigariba, sometimes they can just be almost too aromatic and then there's not much in the palate. So I think throwing in about 25% to 30% sure. of Pinot Gris is just a really nice structure.
It's all an experiment heading to the future, as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Rothgen, mm-hmm. Rothgen Cellars, Saanich. The Sparkling Rosé, is it in play?
It is currently in between vintages. I wouldn't say vintages, but releases. So we did a sneak peek release, about 25 cases in February, just to see how it turned out. And it's a full traditional method, 100% Pinot Noir from two of our Saanich vineyards. And we're going to release the rest of it in December. So it's aging away in its bottles, and a lovely light pink color, aging on its leaves right now and just giving it some more depth.
Okay.
And we'll get that ready for Christmas.
And this is Tasting Room Radio. Mike Rothgen and the winery, strangely enough, it's called Rothgen Cellars. A couple of more things. Auxerrois. Describe to people who have only heard the name of that varietal but have never had it in their mouth or smelled it.
So Auxerrois, it comes from pretty much near the Alsace. That's where its homeland is in the Alsace region. So it's a really, really, really old French white variety. And in the early days on Vancouver Island, it was part of the what was called the Duncan Project. And it was a multi-year trial to try out a whole bunch of European grape varieties to
Was
see.
that the Blattner years?
No, this is way before then. So
Okay,
this
fine.
is like back in the late 80s and early 90s. They planted out a whole bunch of varieties to see how they do. Auxerrois was kind of top of the charts, but I don't know if it was just too hard to spell or something. Everybody planted Pinot Gris instead and Ortega. And Auxerrois ended up with only two plantings that I know of. One is at Zenata up in the Cowichan, and
Right.
then down at the old Dragonfly Hill Winery site down here in Saanich, and that's where we get our fruit from and have this 30-year-old planting of it. And it's beautiful. It's very much in the Pinot Gris family. It has quite a rich palate, but very different nose. I almost get like tangerine and white flowers and these really neat honeyed notes on it. Yeah, so it's beautiful.
What does it pair with?
I'd say it pairs with sunshine. I'm not a trained sommelier, if you will, for the perfect food pairings, but it's richer. Definitely white fish. I'd say any white fish dishes,
Sure.
salads, all that realm of things.
Cheese. Okay. How about crème de cassis?
Crème de cassis. Yeah, that's a fun little side project for us. We've planted our whole front fence line of our property with black currants. So it's definitely a nod to like the Burgundian black currant liqueur.
Okay.
And yeah, it's just about harvest season. It's always right around Canada Day that we pick our black currants here in Saanich.
Yay.
And we basically just crush them up. We let half of it ferment, and the other half we just crush the berries fresh, and they go into fruit brandy. So we've got a bit of a recycling program with some of the wines that don't turn out, or if we get older wines from neighbors that never sold it, we just actually drive it out to Sheringham Distillery in Sooke, and he turns it into a beautiful fruit brandy for us.
Nice.
So black currants, fruit brandy, and then we just back sweeten it with sugar. Beautiful.
Okay. I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. Mike Rothgen and the winery, strangely enough, it's called Rothgen Cellars. And finally, what does a bumbleberry cider taste like? Is it heavy and thick like bumbleberry?
Not at all. This is another nod back to Dragonfly Hill, where we get the Auxerrois grapes from. Carol Wallace at Dragonfly Hill, she got known for her little bumbleberry wine, and it basically she collected all of the berries of the whole farming season all year long in her freezer, and then made this sweet bumbleberry wine. And we actually ended up inheriting her license when we started out,
Okay.
because she was retiring at the same time. So we kind of crammed ourselves into her cellar for a couple of years until our new space was ready. But she had this bumbleberry wine, and we got a few vats of it when we got the license. So I actually flavored the cider with it. So it's a bit of an homage, and the rusty truck on the label is actually from Dragonfly Hill as well. And that's now parked in our front parking lot.
Okay,
Yeah,
just
it's a dry cider, rustic, kind of old world English style, but just a little bit of berries in there.
it's a beautiful thing. Mike Rafton, Rafton Cellars, and he is the winemaker. Now, a couple of quick things, and then you're on your way. A couple of years ago, you said that you and Mike Larusso, were kind of like a changing of the guard on Vancouver Island in terms of winemaking. How are you doing?
Totally. Yeah, I think that wave continues. Like, there's just been a real changing over and a lot of fresh energy, new ownership at old places and new vineyards starting up. And we're just riding that wave. We feel like we're in good company. Avril Creek, they brought in a new winemaker up there. I don't know if you've met Brent yet. Really great to have some talent coming into the island like Brent. And yeah, it just feels like it's an exciting time. In our own vineyards, we're consolidating varieties and just making the vineyards make more sense. Pulling out or grafting over varieties that just aren't showing as well, and doubling down on the ones that are. And then Frederick up at Saison, just vineyards like that are producing just such phenomenal fruit. Yeah, it's an exciting time for the island, and we have had a string of wonderful vintages. So it's a great time to jump in. From 2015 was my first vintage, and it's been 4 or 5 years in a row of just wonderful vintages.
Okay. And finally, you're the first winemaker that I can ask about the effect that the sale of Unsworth to Napa Sonoma owners, people who really know what they're doing, will have on the profile of Vancouver Island wines down the road.
And that follows on your last question. I think it just really is a vote of confidence in what we're doing here, the wine that's coming out of the island. And I was actually here. I was invited to dinner with them on their scouting mission, and was honored to pour a few of the saison wines. And I think Anthony asked me to pour those for good reason, because it really highlighted the potential of Vancouver Island. And that this is their first purchase, as far as I know, in BC. So for them to choose Vancouver Island is just a huge vote of
So it's a
confidence in what we're
big
doing.
deal. It's a big
Yeah.
deal. Yep.
And hopefully they'll plant a lot of great vineyards and just get that production up. I think our biggest issue, and I know it is my issue on the peninsula,
Production.
is size. Yeah, our vineyards are tiny. We need more grapes. And we're proving that we can make good wine from it. There's just not a lot to go around.
Okay. What's your website?
RethjenCellars.com.
RathJen. And finally, where exactly are you so that when you open that tasting room on Canada Day, people can find you?
We're just about 5 minutes off the highway on the way from Victoria up to the ferry, or vice versa if you're coming off the ferry. Right in behind Elk Lake. And there's a beautiful little valley here. It's called Oldfield Valley, and we're just off of Oldfield Road. And like I said, it's about a 5 minute turn off the main highway between Victoria and the ferry.
I believe your alarm just went off and you have to be somewhere else now, Mr. Seller Owner. Thank you for doing this. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Terry. Great to chat with you again.
I just want to let you know, I have tasted your wines and I'm telling you, you are on a roll. Especially, I know that they're an entry level, the two blends, but my goodness, just keep doing that. People are going to discover those two blends, those wine
Thank you,
bunkers,
Terry.
red and white, okay?
Made in the vineyard. That's Vancouver Island right there.
Mike Rafton is Rafton Cellars, name of the on the label, and he is the winemaker. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by our friends at Road 13 on the Golden Mile. Road 13 has designed a new menu for seated wine tastings and vineyard experiences that make it easy to dig right in. Make your reservation and make a date with Road 13. And remember, every Tuesday is Dog Day at Road 13 from 11 to 4. Gourmet hot dogs paired with award-winning wines. Wines like their sparkling Chenin Blanc from the Homblock Vineyard, the oldest Chenin Blanc vines in North America. Made in the traditional method, this wine is truly a labor of love. You can find them at road13vineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by our friends in the Similkameen Valley, Orofino Vineyards, and Row 14 at Clippers Organic Acres. Okay, first things first. Remember, Clippers is with a K. Shop online with them. Just go to shopclippers.ca. And from John and Virginia Weber at Orofino, take a moment to check out the brand new Orofino website, orofinovineyards.com. The very popular guest suites at Orofino still have openings in the fall. Here's the latest news from Orofino. This is such great news. They are open for tastings. And Row 14 at Clippers is back. They're open Wednesday to Sunday, noon to 8 p.m. You want to write them, info at row14.ca. You can find the details at tastingroomradio.com, which can also be found at our home website, which is mulliganstew.ca. We're going to spend some special time with Chris Tolley. Chris, along with his wife, Beta, is the co-owner and the winemaker at Mooncursor. They opened their doors in 2006. At that time, the winery was called Twisted Tree. Eventually, they changed it to Moon Cursor. That was a head scratcher for a while. They're right at the southern tip of the Okanagan. And why do we want to know this? Because between the time that we did the interview and now, the 2019 Wine Align Awards came out. Moon Cursor was named the best performing small winery in Canada. They won 11 awards, including the coveted Platinum for their 2017 Tarika Nationale. But we start with Jim Cuddy because, from Blue Rodeo and the Jim Cuddy Band. if you follow this show for any length of time, you know that Jim is crazy about his wines. And he hooked up with Taz, one of the fine wineries in Canada, frankly. They make incredible wines. And they decided to make three wines under the label The Cuddy by Taz. So after we did the interviews about his music, then we talked to wine with Jim. And then I ran across at the Pinot celebration in Kelowna, Paul Pender, who's the winemaker at Taz. So we got a chance to talk about the Cuddy as well. So we start with Jim Cuddy, Paul Pender. Welcome to Tasting Room Radio. It's not often that I can go directly into a wine conversation. I can do that with Colin Linden and a couple of others, and including Colin Krebs. But this is cool. I want to ask you about Cuddy Taz wines. I know that you're playing the Taz stage at one point in this summer.
Yes.
But what were your hopes and dreams going into this partnership with Taz in terms of your wine? What did you want to do?
Well, Taz is a very good winemaker, and they do make quality wines out of Ontario, out of Niagara. So I wanted to join that, get on that train. And we made a blend, a red blend, mostly Cabernet Franc. That's one of the things that Niagara does very well. Colin Cripps and myself went down with the winemaker, and we helped to make the blend, which was fun and felt useful. And then there's a Chardonnay also that they put together from one of their parcels. And then we also have a sparkling wine called Spark, which they are Spark by Cuddy, but they already have a Spark. It's Riesling based. So that one is going to change. That one will be phased out, and there'll be a new one that will be named by me. And we're just trying to get that clearance for the name, but it'll be hopefully named one of my songs, and it'll be Chardonnay based and made in Champagne style, and sparkling wine from Ontario. And I don't know if you know my feelings about rosé, but I'm not a big fan of rosé, and I really think that people should be drinking a lot more sparkling wine. To me, it fulfills everything that rosé does with a lot more flavor and a lot more possibility of sophistication, so I really like sparkling wine. And so I'll be happy when that comes around.
That's the most disappointing thing I've ever heard you say.
Oh, do you like the rosé hound?
I'm a rosé hound.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it.
Well, have you?
You know, I think mostly, and I should give you a chance to answer, but I think I won't. most people say, I love rosé, and they say, it's a great afternoon drink, and then there's a pause, and they say, and you can drink a ton of it. Now, I just don't think that's a great selling feature for wine.
It's not at all. And it's none of those things. The great rosés that I love and that makes love are food rosés. You absolutely want to have chicken or turkey or something to wash that down, kind of thing, you know?
God. That's like most of it is just almost flavorless. It has no character.
Not anymore. You have to do a little dip.
I know there are some. But generally, as a type of wine, they're a rinse.
Well, mouthwash. Oh, jeez, that is so funny. Oh my God. Oh, I don't know how to. I can't respond.
I know
that.
It's hard, isn't it? It's such a broad prejudice.
There is no response to that. That's like you got run over by a tractor. By the way, Taz make a rosé, do they not?
They might. I mean, they make everything.
They also bought,
which I might do something with them. They bought these big copper pots for distilling.
I saw that.
So we might make a whiskey.
Okay. By the way, just let me go back one step here. I love Cab Franc. I'm crazy about Cab Franc. Mm-hmm. I don't get to taste the Ontario Cab Francs because A, I don't get there, and B, they don't get here. But so BC Cab Franc, very different north to south, east to west. It all depends where it's been grown, as good wine is. Mm-hmm. But you've tasted both. I'm just kind of wondering how different they are. What are your memories?
To tell you the truth, I don't think I've tasted a lot of BC Cab Franc. It seems like it's a very unique thing to Ontario. And I would say, you know, with Ontario, it has a bit of a...
Green?
It has had that in the past. It had a very troubled past, and they put out a lot of Cab Franc because that seemed to be what grew well in Niagara. They tasted green for years. Whatever they have done to to change, or maybe the growing season is a little longer now with a bit of climate change. But now they're certainly, I would say, the stuff that we tried for my wine was not green at all. It was voluptuous, and it was, I think it's more like it seemed to me more like the northern Italian Cabernet Franc.
Yeah.
It's really a nice flavor, unique flavor.
What are your thoughts on natural wines and pet nats?
I haven't really had enough of them. The ones I've had have been, you know, it's weird, and I haven't tried enough to. I don't get it yet. So I just haven't tried enough. I love the idea, and the multiple flavors is probably not going to be something I'm going to get too much into. Like, mm-hmm. I don't really like that in beer either. I don't like the combining fruit and other fruits in the flavors. But I'd like to try more to see what they're all about. What do you think?
I can't remember the question.
About natural wines.
Oh yeah, sorry.
How could you not remember the question if you were listening to my answer?
No, I was listening to your answer, but then I thought, well, what did I ask him in the first place? okay, here's the deal. Sorry. I when I find what I'm after, for example, Anne Sperling, who is a star back in Ontario, but she has her home vineyard that her family planted many, 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 many years ago, 1925, and. And she's doing some amazing natural wines, and I'm a fan. I'm a big fan. I can't see myself drinking it each and every night, but anyway, I last night I had an astonishing Roussanne from Washington State, from Latta, and I never even looked at the label. I mean, I knew the Latta wine, and I had brought it home from Seattle. And it was 2014. It had been in the bottle for 5 years.
Wow.
It's fantastic. So I just like to be surprised.
That's
by
usually a hot weather grape. That's interesting. Yeah,
very. All right. Enough of that. But I'd love to see Cuddy Wines on the West Coast. But at this point
they'll
in time.
They'll have to come in my bag.
Yeah.
I guess.
They're going to have to smuggle them in. Yeah.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
There was a panel at this fifth annual Pinot Noir celebration. I was stunned and delighted to find the Pender brothers together again. Rhys Pender was the host and MC, as he always is. Paul Pender was sitting beside him, no relation. I think we've worked that out. The winemaker at Taz and speaking on behalf of Hidden Bench. Now he's going to have to speak on behalf of Niagara and even Prince Edward County. Did you have a hand in the Cuddy?
Yep. We sit down with Jim once a year. We do a little blend up with him, and he's quite a wine guy.
He is.
You know, very knowledgeable, great taster, very focused individual when we're tasting. And
and I know that you probably lead him in a direction and say, this is, I think, is the sweet spot, but he would have his own.
Absolutely, yeah. No, basically we present Jim with the wines.
The choice.
There's a bunch of different wines that we've grown and made. They're in that barrel stage, and then we sit down with what's available, and we in the end we try them all blind. So
how big is the portfolio now for Cuddy?
Well, for Cuddy we have three. We have the Chardonnay, the Cab Merlot, and a sparkling wine.
He and I'm having this ongoing war about rosé. He can't stand rosé.
He will not drink rosé.
He can't. He's not.
Yeah.
He says I can't find a rosé I like.
Yeah.
Have you tried to convince him?
No. We kind of, you know, it's got to be kind of driven from him, so whatever he likes, we're happy to go along and make that. He's got to be behind it.
Oh, he's such a prince. Thank you very much for doing this.
My pleasure.
Nice to see you here.
Good to see you.
Thank you. Paul Pender, he is the winemaker at Taz on the Niagara Escarpment, and is representing also and speaking on behalf of his next-door neighbor, Hidden Bench. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by our friends in the Similkameen Valley, Orofino Vineyards, and row 14 at Clippers Organic Acres. Okay, first things first, remember Clippers is with a K. Shop online with them. Just go to shopclippers.ca. And from John and Virginia Weber at Orofino, take a moment to check out the brand new Orofino website, orofinovineyards.com. The very popular guest suites at Orofino still have openings in the fall. Here's the latest news from Orofino. This is such great news. They are open for tastings. And Row 14 at Clippers is back. They're open Wednesday to Sunday, noon to 8 p.m. You want to write them, info@row14.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. We're happy to tell you that the restaurant and tasting rooms are now open. The restaurant, Thursday to Sunday, noon to 7 p.m. The tasting room and the wine shop, Wednesday to Sunday, 11 to 5. And the tasting room is now offering sit-down flights featuring four wines. But you can count on the same warm hospitality and fun that Unsworth is known for. All the details can be found at unsworthvineyards.com. If you really want to celebrate, what you want to do is celebrate the top 10 small wineries in Canada. You can't really call them small, but there's lots of them in the competition. And it's the Wine Align Awards of 2019. And the number one small performing winery in Canada is Moon Cursor. I have the man behind Moon Cursor, Chris Tully. You're there, right, Chris? You're right?
Yeah, I am here.
Okay. We did the interview that you're about to hear, Chris and I, 3 weeks ago, maybe even a month ago. It was before all of this came down. And so we're just going to tell you exactly how it all worked out, and then we'll go to the interview. So here we go. Here's what I love most of all about the Wine Align commentary, which was done by the spitter, Anthony Gismondi. At the end of the competition, the winery walked away with several medals, led by a platinum for its remarkable ode to the Douro Valley, the 2017 Touriga Nationale. They follow that up with six gold medals for a 2015 Tanat, think Uruguay, the 2018 Dolcetto, that's Italy, the 2017 Malbec, that's Argentina, the 2017 Tempranillo, a nod to Spain, the 2017 Petit Verdot, a classic from Bordeaux, and one final gold for a 2019 Dead of Night, a blend of Syrah and Tanat. You get the picture. This is one very different producer, and in many ways, a poster child for what we had always hoped would be the kind of innovative family estate winery that would grab the title of the best performing small winery in Canada. All that's left for you to do is to try the wine and eventually visit the winery to experience what the Tollys did when they first got into the business, something new and intriguing, and most of all different. That's a glowing, that's an over-the-top, sold-out review. Way to go, Chris.
Yeah, that was very nice of Anthony.
And correct. And the thing is, you started in 2006. I showed up the summer of 2007. So you were just taking your baby steps then. But I remember that I kept saying to myself, how are they planting this stuff? If I remember correctly, one of the first interviews you and I did, you talked about you and Beta going to some of the places where these wines were grown and checking them all out. Am I correct there?
Yeah, some of them we did, especially the Dolcetto. My dad and I were actually, we went to the Longhe in Italy and tasted a lot of Dolcetto and Arnaise. Arnaise won the silver, two varieties from basically the area of Italy where they also grow Barolo and Barbaresco, Nebbiolo grape, and those are the two Appalachian names. Yeah, they kind of wondered why we were tasting Dolcetto and Arnaise when we went over, but those were the ones we had our eye on for Soyuz here. They've done great here.
And here's the big deal. The platinum, which is the highest award you can possibly get, that's 1% of 1%. Moon Cursor 2017 Touriga Nationale, it won platinum, which it really puts it in a league of its own. The thing about Touriga Nationale is you want to let it sit in the bottle for a while. And the longer you can wait, the greater reward.
Yeah, it's definitely a Vendegarde for sure. It can lay down for quite a while. And it's what's really nice about it is its palate. It's just a wonderful texture to it and a very signature flavor profile so that it's... when you're drinking it, you know you're drinking Touriga Nationale.
So now sure. the gold winners from Moon Cursor 2019 Wine Align Awards, the Tanat, the Dolcetto, the Malbec, the Dead of Night, the Tempranillo, or the Petit Verdot, which one is your private project, the one that you really, really took great pride in?
The one I take the most pride in, I guess, is the Dead of Night because it's a Tanat Syrah blend. It's I think the marriage of the two is better than each individual wine on its own.
Sure.
But the one I really love for just plushness is the Malbec. It's a great variety for the Okanagan,
and it's the perfect spot. You're in the perfect spot for that Malbec.
Yeah, between Malbec and Tanat, if I thought we could make a go of it, that's the two varieties that I would have gone with.
Nice. And the silver, the Carmenere, my favorite, of course, the 2017 Carmenere, and the Moon Cursor Arnais finally coming through.
The Arnais, I think, was a no-brainer. And Carmenere is a bit of a, you know, it doesn't produce a lot of fruit, but what it does produce is very nice. That's one of my wife's favorites, she's a lot of credit to her. Actually, with the Dead of Night, she's the one who came up with the blend.
There you go.
Yeah, and the one whose palate we rely on most around.
Way to go, Beta. And the bronze was the Syrah, which I think could have been a gold. And the Moon Cursor 2018, Afraid of the Dark. Tell them about that blend.
Yeah, that blend is a Rhone blend, so it's a Viognier Roussanne Marsanne blend. It's about 40 Viognier, 40 Roussanne, 20 Marsanne. The last two, the Roussanne and Marsanne, sort of drive the ageability, if you will, of the wine. So you can lay it down for a while, and it'll develop really nice.
I simply don't have the skill to lay it down.
No, neither do I. They tend to disappear. I don't know how that happens.
It's a beautiful wine. It's a beautiful wine. Well, and what's happened since the awards have been announced? Has there been a fire sale?
Well, it's been popular around here, that's for sure. Yeah, people notice, you know, from people who come into the tasting room to people I play tennis with, all know what has happened. So,
is there any Touriga Nationale left?
I think there actually is a little bit left, you know.
Okay. Can you and I talk with the interview we did a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's time. So playing the role of Chris Tolley will be Chris Tolley. Playing the role of the host will be yours truly, T.D. Mulligan. Here's the rest of the conversation. It's a two-parter about Moon Cursor. Well earned. Way to go, Chris.
Thank you. Enjoy.
Remind people where Moon Cursor is in relationship to some of the other wineries around you.
So we're in Asturias, and Asturias is right near the border. We're very close to Inkermit, sort of the only two wineries on the east side of Asturias. And then we're sort of proximal to Young and Wise, which is on the west side. There's Lariana, a border town, Adega.
Yep.
Is right beside us here.
Yep. Chris Tolley, the owner of Moon Cursor. We're going to talk a lot of wine here in a moment. Just go to the website, tastingroomradio.com, and we'll give you the rundown. You can listen to it back again, all to your heart's content. All right, let's just go through some of the, not all of your releases, because you make a lot of wine. I'll just remind you, we're talking Moon Cursor here, my friends. Let's just talk whites for just a second. Afraid of the Dark, Viognier, Roussanne, Marsanne, gorgeous blend. But have you always made that?
Yeah, we always have. It was our first planting when we started the winery in 04, the Viognier, Roussanne, and Marsanne. The Viognier was sort of a novelty in the valley when we planted it, and Roussanne and Marsanne, nobody knew their names or what they were. So they were even more novel.
But why Roussanne Marsanne?
The Roussanne Marsanne, it's a fantastic blend, actually.
It's incredible.
And part of what really makes it nice is the Viognier has this prettiness. In general, stone fruit and perfume and, you know, stone fruit being kind of peach apricot. And it's got this wonderful nose, but it's not a vin de garde, as it were, like a wine for keeping and laying down. But the Roussanne and Marsanne are, and they add wonderful secondary characteristics to the wine when you lay it down, bringing in a bit of a petrol note, almost like Riesling, some nuttiness, wonderfully aged wines of Roussanne and Marsanne. So the blend together offers both. It offers, when you drink it young, you get this wonderful perfume, sort of, particularly on the 18 vintage, a bit of tropical fruit,
yep,
a bit of stone fruit. Just a wonderful combination. And then as that fades, as you age the wine, maybe after, you know, 2 or 3 years, that begins to fade. And then the secondary characteristics from the Roussanne and Marsanne start to pick up.
You know, if you go off on all of these wines, we have an hour special. You understand that?
I'm sorry. Yeah.
These are your babies. It's okay. Yeah. The Arnais. Tell us about the 2017 Arnais.
It's a wine that took a lot of time to come in out of the vineyard. Came in November, actually, for a white, and the Soyuz is amazing. Still had its acidity. It has very nice, nuanced fruit, sort of pear in the background. Very Italian wine, so it's not demonstratively big. It's a prototypical Italian food wine.
Border Vines, 2016. A classic mix, classic blend.
Yeah, that used to be our early to market red. So it's a Bordeaux blend. You know, the two cabs have Merlot, Malbec, Petit Verdot, Carmenere blended together. And it used to be a little more Merlot dominant for, you know, the early to market release. So it was a little softer. Now it's cab dominant. So it's a bit of more structured wine, but as you mentioned, it's 2016, got a year's age on it. Tasting wonderful right now.
A lot of fruit in there.
Yeah, it's 16 was a really good year, and we got in some really ripe fruit. A wonderful wonderful wine on its own, and at the price point, you know, I think normally see it on the shelves around $27. That's a pretty good value, because that's some top BC fruit going in there. Some of our best fruit out of the hottest spot in the valley.
So. Hey Chris, there's some wonderful black pepper there. Is it from the Malbec or the Carmenere?
The Carmenere, yeah. The Carmenere always has a bit of that crushed black pepper character to it, and it's amazing how far it'll go if the Carmenere is intensely that way. You know, 5 or 10% will make a whole blend.
That's Moon Cursor. We're talking about Border Vines, their Bordeaux blend, 2016. Price point?
You see it on the shelf for about $27, $28.
And the Arnais, how much is the Arnais going to be?
That'd be in the $21 on the shelf as well.
Cab Sav by itself, 2015, there was a judging competition a number of years ago that said, why are we judging Cab Sav from BC? We can't grow it in BC.
That's not a bad claim, actually. It's a bit of a challenge, no matter where you grow it. It's a challenge. It's a difficult grape if it's not ripe. But we're in a soyuz, arguably, I would say, the most heat in BC. So if we can't do it in a soyuz, we can't do it anywhere. You know, a requirement in Cab Sauv from BC is you need the age on it, because it comes out quite a very big, structured wine that doesn't give much. And as it ages, it sort of loosens up and becomes a very wonderfully aromatic and subtle on the palate wine.
I see.
So that's a bit of our problem. That's not generally our release dates for wines. We're generally not selling 2015s and 2019, but the Cab Sauv requires that. But it also benefits so much from having that age on it.
What's the price point, Chris?
That one, I think, runs around $35, $35 to $40 somewhere.
It's a beautiful, beautiful wine. Moon Cursor, Chris Tolley, the co-founder, co-owner, winemaker at Moon Cursor, South Okanagan, right up against the border. Now, here's the beauty here for me. Carmenere, 2016. I love this wine.
It's a wonderful wine, palate-driven, wonderfully subtle texture to it, spice components, a little bit of cedar, some black pepper, as we were saying before, some sort of fennel seed. Just a great wine for the Okanagan, a lot of black pepper.
Is that a bad thing? Wait a minute, is that a bad thing?
It's not a bad thing. Some people really love the black pepper in the wine, especially a couple of ladies that run our tasting room. And then some people like the wine a little bit more fruit-driven. Certainly, it's the hallmark of Carmenere.
Sure. Hey Chris, so it's 2016, 407 cases, price point?
It's about $40.
We're talking Carmenere, my friends. Homegrown, BC, South Okanagan, a Soyuz, Moon Cursor, Carmenere. All right, dead of the night. 50% Syrah, 50% Tannat, 380 cases.
I don't think you'd ever see it in France blended together, because the grapes come from different regions,
sure.
But they blend really well.
What's the price point on that?
That one's $40 as well.
Now we come to Dolcetto. This is a real beautiful surprise. Thank you for doing this. 387 cases. Piedmont region of Italy.
We have it on a very good red site. It's a wine that I really loved. My dad and I went over there to research it, and that's how we ended up planting Arnais as well. Sort of a passion for Dolcetto. I know it's not the expensive wine of the region in Italy, but it's certainly one that captivated our attention. And so when we came back, we decided we had to plant a little bit, and it comes out really nice here. And in some ways, it's more accessible than its Italian counterpart, because it's a Nouveau-style wine, and we get it to market sort of in the Nouveau, timeline, whereas if it's coming from Italy, it'll take longer to get here. So it's best drunk young.
Hey, Chris, you must have poured this for some Italians. How do they like your version?
They very much do. It's a little different than the Italian, but certainly varietally on the mark.
And what would you pair with it food-wise?
It's got a really intense characteristics. I like pungent dishes. I had some octopus at Chef Meets Grape that was a great match with it. It was smoked. So you could match it. It's got a good acidity, so it matches tomato-based dishes as well, something with, sort of blue cheese.
Okay.
It's got a lot of intensity to it.
Dolcetto 2017 from Moon Cursor. What's the price point?
That's about $28, I think.
Try it, my friends. Try it. Malbec single varietal 2016. We know what Malbec is. We know what Argentine Malbec is. 388 cases. Yours has a black cherry center to it that's fantastic.
The Malbec does unbelievably well here in the South Okanagan, especially here in Osoyoos with this heat. It's a bit of a Southwest France variety as well, so it likes the heat. Can't say enough about the fruit characteristics it delivers. I almost hate to put any oak on it at all because it's so bright. Like as you said, dark cherry, blueberry, a pretty wine, but also a pretty full-bodied wine as well.
Chris Tully is on the line. He is one of the partners, he and Bita, his wife, at Moon Cursor, right on the border, South Okanagan, and they have a wild portfolio. We love these people, and we love their wines. Exactly how good is your Syrah 2016?
We sell out of that very, very quickly.
We're almost there, Chris. Here we go. And I know you want to talk about the Tannat 2014.
Oh, 2014. Absolutely. Yeah, as I said, makes an awesome wine once you put that much time under its belt. Comes out of fermentation with a lot of interesting characters, almost too expressive, and then ages. Tannat by itself can age almost forever. It's got incredible acidity, a fair bit of tannin, wonderful intensity of fruit, and then a fair bit of alcohol from the amount of sugar it puts on the vine. So it's built to last, and then it takes a little while to get it to where you want it, and then it'll just age for forever. I can't imagine, even in the dead of night, as we mentioned, it's half Tannat, half Syrah.
Sure.
And that, yeah. And after, we have vintages going back to 09, and they taste a fairly recent vintage. So
I know that Tannat, I kind of discovered it through South America, Uruguay and Argentina and down there, but the French version, that's the original, right?
Yeah, they're the French version out of Southwest France, so in Madren and areas below Bordeaux. And then I think Chateau Montus is the champion of that grape in that area.
And it's a 2014, and you held it in barrel?
Yeah, I think that one only spent a year in barrel, though, and it spent the rest of its life in bottle.
Yeah, you bottled in March of 2016. Way to go. And the price point?
That's $40 as well.
Tannat from Moon Cursor. Almost there. Tempranillo.
Yeah, Tempranillo is a wonderful variety, a Spanish variety, a widely planted variety in the old world. Not so well known in the new world, but it makes a wonderful wine. Sort of leather and mushroom and tobacco, those sort of characters on it, mm-hmm. and some bright cherry from our version because we don't age it as long as our old world counterparts.
Price point?
That's about $30 as well.
And finally, we come to Moon Cursor's Torrija Nacional.
Yeah, that. So in Osoyoos, there's a fair number of Portuguese. That have come here, and one of them, Tom Fernandez, who owns the packing plant here, owned a piece of property, and he wanted to plant his Torrija Nacional from the old country, and so we planted a bit of it. I personally didn't think it would do that well, because Portugal on the Douro is unbelievably hot. Well, we're hot here, but that's super hot. And,
yep.
But it did quite well. It's won, you know, the Lieutenant Governor's Award. It's done unbelievably well. And it hasn't been made into a port yet, but we're looking at maybe doing a little bit of that. But as a table wine, phenomenal. You know, not a big wine, though, like not an overly fruit-forward wine either. It's got sort of more Baker Spice components to it, sort of a lighter, but sort of a medium-bodied wine, but just the texture of the wine,
yes,
on the palate, it's just wonderful.
And you are the only one growing that, are you not?
I am, and now Rich de Silva does.
He's Portuguese, and he can do that.
Yeah, I he had the trump card there.
And he's bigger than you.
Yeah, I don't tell Rich what to do. No, not at all.
Tariga Nacional, what is a bottle of 2016 Tariga Nacional going to cost?
That's $40 as well.
Chris, Bita, it is heroic what you've done, and all the awards coming your way are extremely well earned. I love the risks you take on our behalf, and I hope it all pays huge dividends for you.
Well, thank you very much.
It's Moon Cursor. When you look at the bottle and you go, I don't, what? What is it? I'm telling you now, trust what's in the bottle, because these guys give their life and their passion and their time and their brilliance to it. It's Moon Cursor's Wines. What's your website?
Mooncursor.com.
Have yourself a great year, Chris.
Thanks, Terry. Appreciate it.
Chris Tolley, who is the co-partner, co-founder, and the winemaker at Moon Cursor, South Okanagan, right up against the border. Go and pay them a visit. Wonderful tasting room, wonderful tasting room staff. It's one of the places you want to go, and you want to come away with some of this. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. We're happy to tell you that the restaurant and tasting rooms are now open. The restaurant, Thursday to Sunday, noon to 7 p.m. The tasting room and the wine shop, Wednesday to Sunday, 11 to 5. And the tasting room is now offering sit-down flights featuring four wines. But you can count on the same warm hospitality and fun that Unsworth is known for. All the details can be found at unsworthvineyards.com.